Hey, what's going on, Clipper people? It is me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am Positive Chuck Mockler.
And we're a couple of best friends and Clippers credentialed media people who bring you Locked on Clippers 5 days a week at 7 a.m. Pacific.
Yes, we publish it at 7 a.m. Might take a couple minutes to get your RSS, but it will be there around 7 a.m. every day.
Yeah, ride with us every single morning or whenever you choose to listen.
It's up all day.
Anyways, we got a heck of a show for you today. We got a double game preview, which is why I'm getting tongue-tied. We got a game against the Warriors the day that you're listening to this, Friday. And then on Sunday, we face off against the Bulls. So we're going to kind of do these in one segment, talk about what we need to do well as what could go wrong in these games. And then in segment two, we're going to do a classic fun check. If you're a fan of the show,
a Will Updike fun check.
Yeah, it's just kind of where we talk about how much fun we're having with the team and the season thus far. So always a good time. And then in Shavings, which is where we just kind of wrap up everything else that's floating around the NBA, there's not a whole lot, but there is some hate directed towards some Clippers. What else is new? And then it's Friday. Every single Friday, we do a Love, Marry, Quarantine, which is where we rank things related to the Clippers, and we're either loving them, we're marrying them, or quarantining them, which means get them the heck away from us. So all that and more coming up right about now.
You are Locked on Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked on Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes, so Clippers weekend outlook. A great way to start this weekend is that there's no injuries listed on the Clippers injury report.
Wow,
no
beautiful.
No questionables, no probables. Still going to be assuming that Batum is going to be in Marcus Morris's place for probably both these games, because Ty Lue has said as much in case you missed that part. But we face off against the Warriors on Friday for the second time this season.
That's right.
What do we got to do well in this one?
Well, we did quite a bit well last game, but there's a couple key areas for improvement. I think the biggest one to me is honestly just watching the turnovers. We had 19 turnovers in this one. We gave up 10 steals to the Warriors, which to me is, you know, just not an indication that we're handling the ball that well. And this is going to be one of those kind of things that without a traditional point guard, everybody has to find their places on the floor.
It's
one of those things to watch all season for sure. But I think it's going to be really important in this game because Warriors are a team that wants to get out running, get out in with pace in transition. So
hopefully we know that at this point.
Yes. So we have to be controlling the ball better. What else can we do to win this one?
More of the same on Steph.
Yes.
Bunch of different looks. Guys were rotating very well too, which helped everything. But Pat Bev needing to be more of the same. ESPN charted that Steph was 2 of 6 with just 5 points when defended by Patrick Beverly. That's the Justin Russo stat. So we did, I mean, the whole team was great, but Pat Bev was kind of, I think, maybe overlooked in his impact in guarding Steph Curry in that game because he was very good. But I hope it's more of the same on Steph.
Definitely. We need more from the five position.
Yes.
So we had some trouble. We've been having some trouble as a rim deterrent despite some of the personnel of this team. And Zoo was severely limited in time due to the foul trouble. Otherwise, pretty solid defensive performance from him. Offensively, maybe would have liked to see a little bit more, but hey.
Early fouls.
Yeah, early fouls. And Serge was really able to step up from a rebounding perspective, which was great. We do need him to be, you know,
probably upped us from 29th in the league after that game.
Yes, yeah. So we do need him to continue to be strong on the glass, but also just staying in front of guys, using that lateral movement. You know, the small ball thing does kind of fall apart if your five can't defend.
Yeah, right?
Or switch, you know. Which I'm not saying, obviously Serge can do both those things, but we just need him to do it well in this game. And I would love to see a more efficient performance from Serge offensively as well.
I think the whole offense is we saw a lot of kind of stagnant iso ball in that Warriors game.
Yes.
We saw a lot of like, we're going to win on talent, which look, we know that it can happen, but we don't necessarily like having to rely on it. So like Kawhi and PG, I mean, they did their part last game for sure.
Definitely.
So if some other people...
Both had 21, I believe.
Yeah. Other than Kawhi, PG, Batum, and Bev, not a whole lot of people kind of showed up for the majority of the game.
Not a huge
last
lot of
game against the Warriors.
From a production standpoint, correct.
Yeah. And then in terms of what could go wrong, bad paint and defense, which leads to the other guys beating us. You know, what goes wrong in this game is the things that have gone wrong. The exact same thing. We can't close quarters. Like teams like this, And this is no disrespect to Steph Curry or Draymond Green, but right now, this isn't a team that we should be thinking very hard about trying to beat. And I know that every game is hard. I don't mean it like that, but you know what I'm saying? Like, it was going to take an outlier to beat us last game, and it almost happened.
Yeah, yeah. I think I get what you're saying. You're saying, you know, stop the guys that we know we need to stop.
Yeah.
And try to defend
and
that.
And just play your regular level, right? Like, because if we play our regular level, Pascal doesn't have 13 at half against us like he did last time. Mm-hmm. Like, those things don't happen.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think an issue and what could go wrong is, like, if we're unable to stay in front of that offense.
For sure.
You know, like I alluded to earlier, they want to use that pace, and that's going to get them into the offense that they like to play. And when that's clicking, you know, I know that they've had a mixed season so far, but it's still deadly.
Well, even when we were up 9 and Steph had the ball in his hands, it was still just kind of like, oh, God, like, this might go poorly.
Definitely. And if they shoot better than 27% from 3, we could get ourselves in a little bit of trouble.
For sure.
I'm definitely going to give some credit to our defense. I'm not going to say that at all. But Steph did go 1 of 6. Oubre went 0 of 6.
Yeah.
You know, that's one of those margins things where you don't even need to shoot lights out. Just a little bit better would have been the difference in a win for them.
100%. So we hope that game goes well. Then on Sunday, we face the Chicago Bulls. And what we need to do well in this one, look, admittedly, I'm sorry, guys, I haven't watched a lot of Bulls games.
What's the matter with you?
I don't know what I'm doing. But we got to make our threes. The Bulls are 27th in opponent three-point attempts per game at just under 39. And we have a fully healthy roster for this game, all things go well. So a bunch of these shots should open up, and they're allowing teams to shoot 37.5%
yes.
on those 39 attempts. So this is a game where we could see, hopefully, it get out of hand early. Look, with the way the NBA is going, we're probably going to see a 20-point lead in this game, and it's probably going to come down to, like, a close game.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But hopefully early we see some of our shots go in so we can really get the three ball just raining down on the Bulls.
Definitely. I think to open that up, too, we need to be kind of aggressive in playing downhill. We are a bottom 10 team in free throw attempts. The Bulls are a top 10 team, surprisingly, wow. in free throw attempts, and they're knocking them down at an 80% clip.
Hmm.
So along with playing downhill, we got to be really disciplined defensively. There's some larger guys. They're going to try to attack the paint. But yeah, that's going to be one of those things. This might end up being another season-long thing for the Clippers, too, to keep an eye on is
for sure.
our free throw attempts versus opponents and how like what our opponent's percentage around the rim is.
It's hard, too, because with less Lou Will usage, our free throw attempts per game are going to go down. Like, just inherently.
Very true.
Right?
Very like, true.
I just thought of that. And then just the boards. The boards might be a recurring issue with this Clippers team early in the season. I think we'll get it more figured out as we go, but it's not been something, but like we're close to the bottom in rebounds.
Yes. Yeah.
Which isn't good. And you had a great note in here with a kind of an absurd acronym. straight up not having a good time with the opponent offensive rebounds.
Yes.
We allow quite a few.
Yes, and when you're watching the game, it at times almost seems infinite. That's one of those ones for me that like... it definitely jumps out more to my eye than it does on the stat sheet. You know,
for sure.
Like,
yeah.
Sometimes I'll be like, man.
It's so frustrating to see in person.
Yes. Yeah. Sometimes it's like, man, have we even grabbed a defensive rebound? And then, you know, they didn't get as many second chance opportunities as it had seemed in my head. But it's still one of those things that we do need to work on, especially down the stretch. You know, we can't be giving up opponents more looks at the basket.
No. What anything else we got to do right in this one?
Let's just overall get this offense clicking.
I'm fine with that.
This would be a great time to not have a slow start. The Bulls are a bottom 5 team in defensive rating. Let's just show them what this thing can look like when the offense is really clicking.
Let's open it up is what you're saying.
Yes.
Open her up, you know, see what's going on in there. And then what could go wrong? The Bulls are a quick team.
Yeah.
They're third in pace while we are 29th as of now. Transition defense has been an issue so far this season, and the Bulls could get confidence early with what I like to call electrifying buckets. And they have someone on their team who can get those electrifying buckets, which is Zach LaVine. He's averaging almost 25 a game. People argue it's hollow stats, 25. I think he's averaging 25, 5, and 5. But they have guys who can kind of mess us up in transition. LaVine, Lauri Markkanen, I would not be excited if he gets a bunch of transition three opportunities or, you know, things coming from the fast break and stuff like that. Coby White is like one of the faster players in the NBA that I feel like isn't maybe talked about as much. So things could get a little rough in the transition if we let them get that confidence early.
Yeah, definitely. I talked about playing downhill in what we need to do well. And what could go wrong is if we're unable to penetrate the paint, I think that things could get pretty difficult for us. The Bulls are actually a top 10 team in opponent paint points allowed.
Wow.
So good for them. We're ninth and they're 10th. So it's kind of like neck and neck. So yeah, scoring in the paint is going to be a big deal. And I got a throwback for you. What could go wrong? Whole team doesn't make it on the same bus.
That's a classic. That was such a nightmare when that happened. What a horrible winter that was.
There was a terrible snowstorm at a game in Chicago. And that this would have been, what, 2018?
Yeah, they got there like 40 minutes before tip-off.
Yeah, I think it might have even been less than that. They completely missed shoot-around, completely missed.
We needed a Lou Will triple-double off the bench, I think.
Yeah.
I think he had 30, 10, and 10.
It was a wild game, because it was one I thought we were going to put away pretty easily, and I even said in the game preview that we'd put away pretty easily, and then that did not happen.
We didn't. What are we going to have a fun weekend or a stressed-out weekend?
I'm having a fun weekend, man. I think...
No matter what?
I think no matter what, yeah. I'm just happy that Morris is back. If we continue to stay healthy, I think that it's perfectly fine to even drop a game or, maybe two.
Whoa!
I don't love it.
No!
I don't love it. But, once again, this is not about...
If we drop both of these games...
No, if we drop both of these games, it wouldn't be great. But I'm just saying, it's still the same thing, right? We have new wrenches in the system, and we're still trying to build the foundation. So if I see good process, I'm less worried about result right now.
Unless we lose both.
If we lose both, I'm not psyched.
I think it's going to be a fun weekend.
Yeah.
We're going to get to see a bunch more lineup tinkering now that Morris is back. There's going to be a lot more possibilities overall this weekend. I hope we go 2-0. I think we have a really good shot at going 2-0.
Definitely.
Being what would it be?
7-8-3? Yeah.
If we went 2-0, nothing wrong with that. Can't be mad at that. Coming up, we're going to be doing a classic Will Updike fun check. But first, we got to give a shout out to Bet Online. Won a couple bucks on this website the other day, which was a good time. Should be getting some free credits soon. Are we ready for some football? Because college football is getting into bowl season. And there's a bunch of playoff football this weekend. If you're a Seahawks fan like me, I like the Dolphins. I like the Seahawks. Different conferences, so it's fine. Things are looking a little interesting against the Rams. They might be playing not Jared Goff. So, I don't know. So that might be a fun bet. But there's only one place we would trust to bet money on sporting events, and that is betonline.ag. You can sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use the promo code LOCKEDON, all capital letters, just one word, for your 50% welcome bonus. But a lot of blowouts this season in the NBA. Make sure to check those spreads and check out some average points scored. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON, all capital letters, one word, to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook expert.
Okay, so we're back with segment two, and we're talking fun check, which is just where we check in on how much fun we're having with the team and the season thus far. Before we get into it, though, got to give another shout out to Locked On Bets.
Yes.
Great podcast. If you're looking to make some money.
Fun listen, too.
Fun listen. Check out Locked On Bets. Super short episodes come at you every day. They'll let you know what's a lock and, what you should stay away from.
It's like the daily, but way more fun. this season, through 9 games, which you could do it through 10, but we don't do Saturday episodes, sorry about that. Is this season more fun than we expected it to be, given how especially compared to last season?
Thus far, I gotta say yes.
Because we've had kind of the same concerns, which is funny to think, right? Like, we haven't had the starting lineup, for a fair amount of, 10% of the season. We've had some kind of wonky injuries, we've had similar issues, but it feels so much different, for lack of a better term.
I think the big thing is it's going to become a cliche as we say it over and over
throughout
the
season,
but it's just, we're seeing the process of this foundation being laid.
Shout out to LA Clippers.
And I think that, I think that that's super important, and that's a reason why I'm having fun. Yes, we don't always close out quarters well.
Yeah, we had the worst loss in franchise history.
Yes, we had the worst loss in franchise history. Yes, a bunch of times we've seen this offense not look that great.
Yeah.
But what's been encouraging is just the communication on the court, and I don't know, people stepping up to take responsibility. It just seems like there's a little less friction among the
everybody.
Ranks.
Yeah. Marcus Morris, this hasn't been talked about, and I'm trying to word this without dredging up something that might be misconstrued. For some reason, this season, Marcus Morris seems much more locked into being a more vocal leader in the locker room compared to last season when we had a different roster.
I think that it was...
If that makes sense.
I think that it was really difficult for him to completely take over that role last year. I mean, he was one of the shortest tenured players in the locker room at that time.
Players who were unhappy on the team. Like there was
who had been there for a long time.
There was a big subtraction that I think really helped unlock Marcus Morris. I'm not saying this is a real thing, but there's a marked difference in how much he's talked about his own leadership. He wants to come off the bench. Like if he was doing similar things like this last year, we would have heard about them, I think. And yeah, he would have talked about them too, because he's not exactly a wilting flower when it comes to the press, right?
Right. Correct.
So I think that's a big thing too. And like you said, like when things like look bad during some games, there's also times where we've seen so much more flashes of a real offense, specifically on the offensive side of the ball,
mm-hmm,
as opposed to just, wow, Kawhi and PG did their thing tonight.
Yeah.
We're seeing great cuts from Batum and a bounce pass from Pat Biff. Like, just things seem drilled differently.
Yeah, we're seeing less forcing. I mean, there are some
less forcing.
There are some notable exceptions, but
Reggie Jackson's still on the team, of course.
But we're seeing, I mean, from the Stars specifically, yeah, we're seeing less kind of forcing from Kawhi and Paul George, which is great. I think the biggest contributor to this level of fun for me has got to be Nick Batum.
Yeah.
Nick Batum and Serge, honestly.
Other than Ty Lue.
Yeah. But while I do miss Jermichael quite a bit, forgot about that other guy who used to play for the Clippers.
Jermichael has never played as good as Nick Batum.
I was going to say, the trade, I mean, like the upgrade or whatever you want to call it, to Serge and Batum from what we previously had is notable. And it's, you know, obviously there could be a regression, but right now the returns have been so high that it's just delightful. I got to be honest, it's delightful to watch.
And the Marcus Morris rehab timeline for what we paid for Nick Batum's contract, the contract has already paid for itself, right? Like,
oh yeah,
the fact that Morris has probably had an extended timeline based on what was initially thought of. This is a hard interject. I bet this timeline, there's no way this timeline is this long last season. There were times when we rushed guys back last season. Paul George had to maybe most likely come back after that Memphis loss. We had to play the Knicks the next day for the Marcus Morris audition.
It was a back-to-back.
Yeah. Like, I just think Morris gets such a great time to rehab. Coming off the bench is great for his rehab, too. That's how well Batum has been playing.
Yeah.
For a vet-man contract. Like, it's been great. How would you rate Ty Lue through 9 games?
Like a 1 out of 10 or?
Let's do 1 out of 10.
I'd have to say, I mean, probably a solid 8.
Yeah, I'm going like 9.
I've just seen a lot of improvement. Haven't gotten the opportunity to like be in the locker room or around the team in person. So I haven't
only
got
the team has.
Yeah, I know. Well, having had a chance to see up close, like, sort of what that looks like.
Do you think that benefits a new coach? Now that I'm just thinking about that, having no media, so it's your first year as a coach, it's you and the players. Like, there's not as much, you know what I mean? Like,
possibly, yeah. I'm talking about mainly, like, you know, getting to see kind of those interactions on the bench.
Checks.
Seeing what it kind of looks like coming out of timeouts and stuff like that. But
for sure,
what has impressed me, speaking of timeouts, has been Ty Lue's use of timeouts. Like, he's really good, I think, at stopping momentum of other teams as much as he can, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like we're not waiting until things are completely out of hand.
Yeah, we're trying to stop the momentum.
To call a timeout, and I think that he's been great at ATOs. And then I think the way that he has staggered Kawhi and Paul George already early is a significant upgrade from what we had, and I'm curious to see the evolution of that now with Morris back in the lineup.
100%. And there's some interesting similarities from last season to this season. Like,
Lay them on me. Are they troubling? Sounds troubling.
I don't know, because we're 16th in three-point attempts so far, just like we were last season.
Okay.
We're 26th in personal fouls so far, just like we were last season. 24th in steals, just like last season. And then weirdly, we're averaging 24.4 assists per game this year. We averaged 23.7 a game last year. And I thought this was surprising given the higher amount of passes per game that we're seeing.
So I think that there's a couple of things going on with this. I think there's
a 50-point blowout.
Yeah. So I think that we have struggled offensively sometimes to knock down shots, even good looks. So I would expect that to go higher. And then there is a thing where I...
But that's attempts, though. That's not even percentage.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I think the attempts will go up.
Yes. Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. I don't know. The ball movement looks better. So.
That's my thing, right? Like, the passes, I'm like, I mean, but it looks so much crisper.
It's
meaningful passes.
Yes, for the most part. The only issue is sometimes it does get maybe a little pass heavy, and there's one extra pass that you don't need, which degrades kind from the quality of the
like
shot.
Kind of gives like a hiccup to the possession, for sure.
But I would say that that's kind of, that hasn't been the majority for me.
And the biggest difference is, which is kind of interesting, we were first in free throw attempts last year. We're 21st so far this year.
Mm-hmm.
25th in total rebounding this year. Third last year, 42 a game versus 47 per game. And then the pace. We were the eighth fastest team. Sorry, not fastest in terms of possessions. In terms of pace last year, currently we're the 29th. 101 versus 96 possessions a game. I think that's growing pain stuff.
Well, so here's the thing. I flip-flop back and forth on whether I even like the pace stat or not.
Because it needs a new name.
I think that the thing is it's accounting for total possessions. So I think that our game plan defensively has been to slow down other teams' number of possessions, which naturally is going to result in in less possessions. And then I'm kind of fine with a slower pace if the efficiency is there. Like,
for sure.
Obviously, you'd like to get out running and you'd like to get easy buckets. And that's great. That's all fine and good. Absolutely. But if we're already like the most, or we're definitely top three in terms of efficiency and half court offense, what do you think playoff basketball is, baby?
Yeah,
That's grinding half court offense. And if you can remain that efficient, I just like your odds in a 7-game series.
100%.
Because you're not relying on another team making mistakes. You're not relying on
bad ISO ball. Hopefully.
Yes. Yeah. And you're not relying on, you know, having the freshest legs on the floor. You're relying on something that you've drilled in. That's an actual system that guys can execute. So I would love to pick up the pace a little bit. Ty Lue has said as much, but if the efficiency remains there in the half court, I can live with it.
It allows us to get to that point.
Yes.
But so far, I mean, 9 games, I'm having fun.
I'm having a much better time than I thought I was going to.
Yeah.
Especially, you know.
Shout out the Batum Battalion.
Yeah, especially coming into the season, you know, not knowing the timeline for Morris. A lot of questions on how this, you know, kind of new system would work. It's a lot of kind of new wrinkles to throw at a team that never really was able to develop any sort of consistency.
Yeah.
So I think the early results thus far, and once again, for the millionth time, the building of that sort of foundation has been really rewarding to watch. And I'm definitely having way more fun than I thought I was going to be, and having a, you know, a solid amount of fun. It's a good time.
Of fun. Let us know your fun level at Locked On Clips. We're on Twitter pretty much constantly. Coming up next, we're talking some new COVID situations, as well as a Love, Marry, Quarantine, which you do every Friday.
Okay, so we're back with Shavings, which is just kind of where we wrap up all the loose ends floating around the NBA. What do we got?
Mark Stein reporting that Thursday was the first day that players will be wearing the proximity sensors. It is mandatory for NBA players, coaches, and staff. Connection, K-I-N-E-X-O-N, if you're wondering how this tech company decided to spell connection. Sensors record proximity and duration when people wearing the sensors interact, but do not track location or an individual's movement. I don't necessarily believe that last part.
I guess I don't fully...
I'm not pro if they did, but I just don't believe that it doesn't track where you are.
Totally. I'm just saying the thing as a whole, I don't know how helpful this is.
Because it was mandatory in the bubble, but it's like, dude, like, people were still playing cornhole and cards. Like, I don't really understand.
In like that sort of situation, and it's alerting you in like a more casual situation, I think that makes sense. I don't get how in a practice you're supposed to keep people 6 feet apart. So I guess I'm kind of doubting.
Everyone's
some of
got
it.
Real long brooms.
Yes.
They're doing that drill.
I'm just kind of doubting the utility of it. But hey, whatever. I mean, this is what they're doing. It's what they're doing. Fine.
I also usually know when someone's within 6 feet of me.
It's pretty easy to tell.
And when everyone is like 7 feet tall, it's like, yeah, it's interesting. I hope everyone does what they're supposed to do for sure. Also, today, look, I feel like, has there been 36 hours without just Clippers hate kind of coming out of nowhere this season?
There has not.
Has there been a 36-hour stretch?
There has not.
There's not.
The chalkboard is constantly at, we're
constantly erasing that one. Yeah, today there was some horrible aggregate account. I believe it was Hoop Central or Hoop Legion or Legion of Hoop Central or Real Hoopers at Legion Ball
Legion,
Out.
Legion of Poop Central.
Legion of Poop Central. They tweeted that Patrick Beverley is leading the league in fouls and only has 6 steals. And look, we were texting with Carl Tart earlier about this situation. It's never going away.
No, I mean,
this is where we're at.
Yeah, this is just what it's going to be.
For all the people who became fans last season, you had no idea what you were getting yourselves into. But
I applaud you if you're sticking with it.
If you're sticking with us, you better stay with us, because I guess it can only get better, because it's been maybe the worst it's been.
Welcome to hell, buddies.
Welcome to hell, everybody.
Well, the thing is,
special shout out, Pabby. We love you. You're so much better than what that horrible account made you seem.
I feel like somehow, and we didn't sign up for it, we didn't ask for it, but we somehow have gotten all the Warriors and Kevin Durant hate piled into on a team that, unfortunately, you know, hasn't been to 5 finals. So yeah.
It's pretty interesting, but hey, we're just gonna keep on keeping on.
We're gonna do our best.
Yeah. Hope everyone has a great weekend. Now we're getting to Love Mary Quarantine.
Yes. If you're new to the show, every single Friday we rank something related to the Clippers, and we're either loving it, we're marrying it, or we're quarantining it, which means get it away from us. So what do we got on the board?
This is another UpDoc special. It's other roles on the team that players could accept, a la Marcus Morris accepting his bench role.
Yes. Not even accepting. Offering.
Offering, for sure. So, first option, Patrick Patterson. Notably, loves computer games. Seems very good at Apex Legends. Probably has a sick...
You play it on the computer?
What? A computer game? You winning, son? He does on-call IT service for the players and coaches.
Okay.
I think he would also maybe kind of be into this.
He's fixing their Wi-Fi.
Yeah, he's unplugging it, plugging it back in.
Who do you think is the worst at computer issues on the Clippers? Is it Kawhi or?
It's 100% Patrick Beverley.
Okay, yeah, yes, yes, absolutely. It definitely is.
Next option we have, Paul George is the team chef, asterisk. He only makes what he catches fishing. So.
Is he going out to the pier every day or?
He's the team chef, man. He's got to get it figured out.
Man, if he's going out to San Pedro and just doing some deep sea fishing in the morning, coming back, I'm fine with it.
Whole team?
Yeah, whole team.
He's getting 15 NBA players worth of fish plus coaches?
How many fish is that? There's some bites out there.
How many fish is that?
Have you ever been fishing out there, though?
I'm just trying to figure out how much fish you would need to catch for that.
Fish per person?
30?
Yeah.
All right.
It's just definitely doable.
For sure. Hey, okay. Look, I guess we know which one you're voting for. Then we have Mook's Book, which is spelled out book. Mook takes over the role of team bookie, just taking everyone's bets, writing them down. No enforcement needed because everyone always wins. This is also setting us up for a classic clip sock scandal at some point for a point shaving situation.
There's got to be a team bookie.
Maybe there is. And then we have Amir Coffey, who brings donuts and hot tea because they don't allow coffee in the locker room.
Kawhi gets too kooky on the coffee.
No caffeine. So what are you loving, marrying, and quarantining?
I'm loving Mook's Book.
I'll tell you right now, I'm quarantining this one.
I'm pro team betting. I'm pro
on basketball?
On whatever, dude.
What if
he offers odds on anything?
I'm only on board if it's anything but basketball.
Okay, fine. It can be anything but basketball.
All right.
Anything.
Okay, now I'm out again. Which one are you marrying?
I gotta marry Paul George, team chef. I love the idea of him going out fishing, old man in the sea kind of a thing.
Seems like he has a chef's hat too. I don't know why.
He might. Yeah.
And what's your quarantine?
I'm gonna quarantine Pat Patterson. The guy's gotta get his head focused. He can't be solving IT issues.
So I'm gonna love this one because I think that helps him.
Okay.
I think he's making the, you know, he's soldering a bunch of stuff, people's modems or whatever. It might be kind of dicey.
Soldering do you think is required in an IT service?
For Pat Bev's computer, probably a bunch because he just smashes it when he's mad. I'm going to marry the Amir Coffee Donuts and Tea because he deserves more playing time. And if he did this, he'd get more playing time.
Yeah.
And I'm going to quarantine none of these. I think these would all be pretty beneficial for the team.
Yeah. It's all a good time.
PG as team chef seems fun.
Yeah. Taking on a new role for everybody. Hey, why not?
Let's do it. That about wraps it up. We hope everyone has a great weekend, a safe weekend. Shout out to people. You know, just say hello to someone you haven't talked to in a while. Maybe that you missed. Things are a little weird right now.
Yeah.
We don't know how it goes.
Drop a line.
Drop a line. Wednesday's episode, have a weekend recap with most likely a bigger recap of the game against the Bulls since it happens on Sunday. The freshies talking about how the new players looked, which has been pretty damn good so far. And then whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland, Will, if I were someone who had never heard this podcast, how would I find it?
Well, I don't know how you're hearing this message if you've never heard this podcast, but
that's the power of the pod.
Tell people who maybe haven't heard it to check us out on iTunes or the podcast app. We're also on Google Podcasts. We're on Spotify. We're on Stitcher. We're on Deezer. You can tell your smart speaker to play Locked On Clippers. If you haven't already, please subscribe. Tell your friends to subscribe. Really helps us out. If you like what we're doing, hey, drop a rating or a review. It doesn't cost anything. We'll definitely read it on air.
Absolutely, 100%.
So yeah, thanks for rocking with us. Remember to look for this show. 7 a.m. Pacific time,
bright and early.
Monday through Friday.
100%. I have been positive Chuck Bachler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. We appreciate you.